From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you on this marvelous Monday. Trusting you had a fantastic weekend. Welcome to spring. Yes, I'm just a little bit happy about that. Glad to be hanging out with you today. And we are so excited about what we have in store for you today. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about some news popping up over the weekend. Of course, a lot of chatter here in Oregon in the conservative movement just about the lockdown that continues to happen at the Capitol. And yet there's so many bills stirring up there, and the ability to be able to talk at the bills, to address our lawmakers in regards to these bills, get our voices heard, has been a real obstacle and a real problem. And there's an article in the Northwest Observer, and I've just put it on our Facebook page talking about that. Does the Capitol have to be open to the public? And because there's been closure in the 2021 season, this question is rising up everywhere. How can we open up our Capitol, especially when these laws that are going through that are impacting our day-to-day lives in major ways, not minor, big ways coming through the pike? And so tomorrow morning, I'm going to have Brianna on with me. We're going to go through several of the bills and a call to action. And there is a letter. In fact, I can email you this letter, a copy of this letter, really urging the Republican lawmakers to stand strong against this and maybe even walk out again, because that's the only thing that they can do at this time is stand strong and walk out and say, no, you can't have a quorum. These bills need to not go forward. And so we're going to go into some details about that tomorrow. Also, I want to keep reminding each and every one of us that they're looking at trying to make the mask mandate permanent. And so it's really important that you let the elected leaders know and let them know in the open Oregon concept that we don't want to continue on wearing masks permanently. And you need to send your email and your definitely let them know how you feel about this to tech.web@oregon.gov. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well tomorrow. And over the weekend, too, we got wonderful news of a new release. Yes, you may have seen this on Facebook, and it's certainly something that I'm excited about, because I really think during, especially this last year, during the COVID season, we have had such a shift in how we do business. Not only how we can access business, but also how we can how we receive business. And so this morning, our topic is customer service. And I want to first welcome back my co-host that hasn't been here on a Monday for a few weeks because he's been traveling. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
So glad to have you back.
Well, it's good to be
you've
back.
You've been around the country and back. And
yes.
Several people have asked me, are you coming back? Are you going to go back to Arkansas? Talk to us a little bit.
Well, they thought you kicked me out of the house. I get tired of me too every now and again.
Oh, no, not the story at all. fake news.
Fake news. Well, you know Arkansas. I love Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I really do. My mama's there. You know, mm-hmm. mom and porch coffee, and you know how mm-hmm. that is. And it's kind of one of those things. We've all heard it time and time again, but you can't go back. I don't know. Mm. I love it there, but I tell you what, Oregon mm-hmm. is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, I really miss, there's just so much activity here.
Yes.
So many things to do, and the people are good, and mm-hmm. I mean, Arkansas is a lot slower. It really is. This is a perfect blend for me mm-hmm. of town and country.
Right.
So.
And the people here, and of course, that makes my heart happy, because that means we can continue our adventure here. And, you know, when I was talking about customer service, I've got our wonderful new friend, Mitch Graff, in the studio with, hello, Mitch. Yay. You know, Terry, you were telling me this morning, and I forgot about this part, you actually went to school for customer service, and talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, in the small town that I lived in Kentucky, there was a lot of industry, new industry, like companies that built brake pads, for instance, and they were looking for people to get their degrees in quality technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's that whole ISO 9000, everybody does the same thing type stuff, but a big portion of that was your internal customer,
mm-hmm.
Working with each other and working with the external external customer, and it really, you know, several things have stuck. Now, that's a lot of years ago, but I just remember how it made things clear and why it was so important, customer service. So, yeah, I'm happy to share
Well, I've been so excited to have my hands upon this book, Customer Service is Dead, Delivering Six-Star Service in a One-Star World. And I'm telling you, Mitch, reading through it, I am compelled by even the stories like of you and your son and on your grand adventure together. And
Stacy's even been treating me better. So that's a good thing.
The silver lighting in this, Carrie.
That's
right, fellas.
15 minutes.
That's right. Buy it for your spouse.
Oh, my goodness. So talk to us a little bit about your release of your book, first and foremost, just came out.
And it just came out Saturday.
Oh, my goodness. And it's just been this rippling effect. And I'm so excited to get through it so I can help
you write. You got an advanced copy.
I know. Wow. It's
VIP.
So been fun.
Be sure to get that signed before you
leave. I know. Definitely.
It's worth half price as soon as the signature's on the paper, just so you know. Okay.
And so for our friends, if you don't know Mitch, you were on the show about a month ago. In fact, we were both out of electricity, right? At your home in the hills.
Yes.
And us here, we were all out of electricity, and you've come through that all right, and now your book release. What's anything other? This has been probably full.
Just kind of boring stuff, yeah.
Yeah, regular
that's
life
about
stuff.
It. I've had about 15 or 20 interviews with podcasts and radio shows and media outlets to launch the book. I hired a publicist, and this is my ninth one, but I believe that this is probably has the potential to make the most amount of change because everything else I've written was for that niche in time. This is global. I think this is something that every person that works for any kind of company in any industry needs to get their hands on. And the concepts that I'm covering in here are kind of new. They haven't been talked about in other customer service and customer-centric type books. And I'm really excited about it. So far, so good. We're the number one new release in all of customer service on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And we're only on day two. So, yeah, it's looking good.
And before we get into the meat of this, because I wanted us to tell stories this morning, and I want to give examples and why, and definitely tell our listeners, you need to get the copy of this book and pass it on. But let's review your background, what's led up to you being a book, you know, the kinds of things that you've been involved in.
How much time do we have?
Yeah.
He's got about 6 minutes.
Started when I was very young. Everyone else was selling lemonade for a quarter. I sold it for 50 cents, but gave you a free cookie and had a table where you could sit down and enjoy a Dodger game on my AM radio. As I've grown up, I've had everything from portable hot tub rental businesses to cribbage board companies to a Nightcrawler company. The funny story about Nightcrawlers, I lived in North Idaho at the time, and this is back in the 90s, early to mid-90s, and I left to go fishing. Well, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, a serial entrepreneur and a lifestyle entrepreneur, so I get to pick my own time. I was going to go fishing on a Wednesday afternoon. I went to convenience stores, sporting goods stores, all kinds of stores, could not find a dozen worms. So I got mad. So I found out that there's a guy named Mr. Bait. Mr. Bait was he owned the whole market. So I called him and said, "Hey, Mr. Bait, I'm trying to get worms. Where can I go?" And he kind of gave me a gruff answer. So I got a little upset, went back to my office, made some phone calls, found out where you can buy worms by the thousands out of Forest Grove, Oregon, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Made a container, not a 12-pack, but an 18-pack, because 12 is never enough, 24 is too many. So I did an 18-pack, developed a nice color logo with a bass coming out of the water, biting a worm, just beautiful. Hired the best salesperson I knew. Within about 6 weeks, we had picked up over 600 accounts Western Montana, North Idaho, Eastern Washington. I get a call from Mr. Bait. "You can't do that. I own these customers." "No, you don't." And I just did, by the way. "But I don't want to be in the worm business. I just wanted a place to go on Wednesday to buy worms. I'll sell it to you." And a quarter price, like $50,000. He hung up the phone. So about 6 weeks later, he called back again. And we just continued to just drive and take his customers. So long story short, he cut me a nice little check.
Yay.
And I was out of the worm business, never wanted to be in the worm business. But it's like anything. If you find an opportunity and you realize there's an opportunity, you got to figure out, okay, is this an opportunity that I want to pursue? Because not every opportunity is the right one.
Right.
You know, as you know, entrepreneurs take risks all the time. I like taking measured risks now. I'm 59, just turned. I got three young kids at home. I can't go out and invest $1 million on anything. If I fail, that's going to hurt me. So measured risk and the customer service thing that we're talking about earlier, I really think that's something that has almost died. Do you guys agree with that? Do you notice
absolutely.
There's a change in the service culture out there?
Well, you go to the store anymore, and you self-check out. I mean, if I wanted to be a checker, I would work as a checker.
I don't get an employee discount when
I
self-check.
No employee discount.
Now, if I have one item, I love that feature that I can go and do it myself. Mm-hmm. I do like that without having to stand in line. But I remember back in the day, they would tell you what aisle things were on. They'd even send the person to go get something for you on aisle 9.
Right.
The can of tuna. Anymore, it's how fast can you get people through the line?
Right.
We now have the attention span of a gnat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to stand in any lines, which is part of the reason why grocery had to make those changes. They had to adapt to our changing needs.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is you reduce the need for service on that low level.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think that's the most important part. People that you hire, the teller, the cashier, the gas station attendant, those people are holding in their hands multi-billion-dollar brands.
Absolutely.
And they can either drop the ball or they can do well for it.
Mm-hmm. I see a customer service as a direct correlation to good manners. Being raised in the South, it was no sir, yes sir. I don't think the young folks get that today. Mm-hmm. I really don't. They weren't raised that way. You know, you say, okay, well, thank you. Hey, no problem. Well, no, that's
that
not
is
the
problem.
That
yeah.
is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. That should be the correct
My
response.
Pleasure.
My
yeah.
pleasure.
Happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you didn't inconvenience me too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the way you answer that question.
Well, and that certainly is something that is a great intro into why your book is so needed at this particular time. Let's talk about this customer service gap. It seems as if when we go, it's like our level of expectation as a consumer has really dropped.
It really has.
It really has dropped. And if someone smiles at us, we think that's a good day. We have good service. And it seems like with all these tools that we have with Yelp and different things, we can do reviews and things. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, and you point out, and I've read on this before, that many people will go to and look at a review, but few actually review. Unless they've had an impressionable service, they do not place a review. And yet, to get a bad review, you can't get it moved. And so it's a huge thing on the business. And so you would think that you would want to equip your front lines with the best people. And I always have called it director of first impressions. You had another expression for that or title for that person, the first frontline person when they come in. I can't remember what you referred to. Maybe it was director of first impressions, but it's really important that person really have the skills,
training
yeah. and connectedness and kindness and willing to serve, because they may turn around and go right back out the door.
Is there any incentive by companies to do, imagine Yelp, if it went on there, you're a company, take a picture of receipt, send us a review, and we'll give you 10% off or give you a free appetizer. Some incentive to leave a review.
Absolutely. An honest review. And that's kind of a little stickler there. A lot of people say, you send me a 5-star review, we'll give you something.
Well, that's the reason for the receipt. I thought I was really there. This is the time. This is the date. I'm a real customer.
Well, I remember our daughter, Bree, remember at Taco Bell? She'd say, oh, I'm in a contest at Taco Bell. If I get so many customer service responses, I'll get blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So I do know that there is some of that going on.
And that's lovely.
And
I love that.
I think that's incentive, and it gives them reason to do
it. We all want to help out.
That's right. We're going to continue the conversation of customer service this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Happy Monday to you, my friend.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, for being our morning show sponsor. If you need insurance, get a hold of Bill, sunderlandagency.com or 503-885-0789. And I want to say a very happy birthday. Special happy birthday to Aunt Carla this morning.
Happy birthday to you.
Yay. Happy birthday. And to our friend Gwen Caldwell. It's her birthday today.
Oh, go on now.
Yeah. Oh, so if it's birthday, your
Gwen.
Birthday today, happy birthday as well to you. And we're continuing the conversation this morning about customer service. And Mitch, it's interesting when we talk about the gap in service right now, and certainly with COVID, it has been an interesting season. I think it's just maybe magnified the difficulties and the need for ramping it up, because it seems like people are edgy anyway, you know, because of all these new requirements to get in the stores and things like that. But it goes beyond just the point of purchase. Customer service is in life. an important aspect to have, and to think of others greater than yourself, mm-hmm. right? And years ago, I was trained, when I was in college, I started a little side business with Mary Kay Cosmetics, and she has an amazing book. She started the company at 50 years old with her life savings of $5,000. And she really said, look at the person and help them, you know, feel special. Get the dollar signs out of your eyes. And I'm a firm believer, if you help people and where they're at and truly inspire them, then the rest will come. The rest will come.
Absolutely.
And
you said something interesting. You said after the sale is made. I call it the after party.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, you hear the word after party. It's after the Super Bowl, after your team mm-hmm. wins the championship, after the Grammys or Emmys. There's a party, and it's after.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, that's a bigger event. People look forward to that mm-hmm. more than the actual event. So why not create a culture within your business? And I don't care what industry you're in. Why not create a culture of that after party where a customer can't wait to become the customer for the first time? Because they know after that, there's something special in mm-hmm. store. Now, what does that mean? It's up to you and your industry, but making sure that you have that after party concept and that philosophy drawn out on paper. How am I going to take care of this customer? After they make a purchase, I can't just say thank you, because 92% of customers don't come back a second time. 92%. Mm. Wow. In the world of professional baseball, 84% of people that go to a game don't go to another game in 5 years.
Wow.
So that tells me that we are dropping the ball in all industries of, you made a purchase, thank you so much. Not just, let me have your email so I can send you spam every week. Mm-hmm. And here's a 10% discount. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually providing value. Give them content that enhances their life,
mm-hmm.
makes them smarter in some form. And yes, also ask them to buy. But the concept in sales is give, 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 ask.
Mm.
As opposed to ask all the time. You mm-hmm. do that, people get this jaded feeling around their brain.
That's a really good point, because I have hit that drum pretty hard in the nonprofit world. That's what I have most of my experience in. And if you're always going to your supporters as an ATM, you know, this need and this need and this need and this need and this need. And yes, they're a nonprofit that they do great work in the community, but we can't look at our donors as an ATM. We have mm-hmm. to add value to their lives.
We have to
build relationship, and we want them to partner with. They are partnering. They're champions of your cause.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're supporters, and you give them inside information, and you allow them to be a part of, not just the financial part. And what you said is spot on. And organizations and nonprofits that do that grow, and they're looking for new ways with the money that they have.
Always looking for new ways, mm-hmm. aren't they? Another terminology is jab, jab, jab. Uppercut.
Oh, right, exactly.
But you have to give content. You have to give value before you ask for something in return.
So this book that you have that is such a great resource, and I'm looking forward to getting through the rest of it. You actually, it's like a training ground, I believe, for people that are in business, front lines. You're concerned about, you've got new employees coming in, you're concerned about their ability to connect with your customers. Talk to us a little bit about your whole mode here, because I know a little bit, but I want the listeners to learn from you. Go ahead.
Well, the whole book is based on what I call the 6-Star Service Manifesto. And being a consumer for many years, 59 years, there's been times in my life that I felt that the service industry was wonderful, and times that it's not. Right now, I really believe that the art of good customer service is slowly dying. Another story that I heard recently is when Michael Iger was interviewing to be the CEO of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Disney has a thing. They call them cast members. But they have cast members. All their job is to go around and pick up trash. That's mm-hmm. the only job they have.
Mm-hmm.
But you never notice that there's no trash.
Right.
Right? If you saw a bubblegum wrapper, guess what? You would notice it. Well, he went through the park one time. This was an interview. And there's trash.
Mm.
He started picking it up. And before the end of the walk was over, he had like 5 or 6 cups full of trash. What do I do with all this trash?
Mm.
Well, come to find out, there was a guy walking 50 feet in front of him putting trash down.
Mm.
Because that was part of the culture. They wanted to see if he truly would buy into the culture of every little detail matters. In the 6-Star Service Manifesto, if you were to walk into a business, let's just say it's an insurance company, just a random industry, and let's say there is a nice, beautiful certificate on the wall, and it says, thank you for coming in. We promise to. And there's 6 different stars. Star mm-hmm. number 1, we promise to exceed your expectations in every interaction with you. Star 2, we promise to treat you like gold.
Mm.
Star 3, we promise to correct our mistakes efficiently and effectively. And that's a big problem today.
Mm-hmm.
People don't fix the problems. Star 4, We promise to create an unparalleled culture of customer service excellence. Star 5, we promise to build relationship with you based on mutual respect. And star number 6, we promise to always remember that you are the reason that we're in business. I mean, putting that customer first. And so the book kind of details those 6 points of the star and then gives actionable techniques on ways that you can make those stars come to life in your business. And it all has to do with that training of employees. And today, we're talking off air, back when I was the president of the Volcanoes in 2019 season, I interviewed 200 or 300 people to come up with, you know, 80 or 90 that was really good. I'd have people come into interviews with baseball caps backwards. They come in with T-shirts and sweats and flip-flops. Or they'd come in and we'd start the interview and all of a sudden their pocket would go, oh, excuse me, just a minute, Mitch. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for coming in, right? A lot of the training today is not taking place like it was back, even just 10, 15 years ago. And I really think we need to have a movement, a revolution where we all say, okay, the people that are trusted to do the branding of our companies, the cashiers, the tellers, the people that answer our phones, we have to give them appropriate training. But before that even happens, we got to make sure we hire the right people, right? We got to hire that person. We can talk about that after the break.
I think that's a great lead into this next break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little more with some stories. You have more stories, and I love how they interact with these points that you're hitting on.
This is a 10-hour show?
Yeah, baby.
10 hours.
We'll keep on going. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Enjoying a wonderful Monday together. It's 43 degrees at the KSLM studio. It's going to get up to about 51 degrees. A little rain in the forecast, about 10%. And I saw some this morning, and now it's starting to clear out, if I could tell through the window here in my office. And tomorrow it's going to be 55. And here's the good news. Guess what? This weekend, guys, it's going to get up to 64 on Saturday and partly cloudy sky. I think it's good weather to get ready for baseball, right?
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to the coast with my kids. Or today we're going to the coast with my kids, and it's going to be a high of 48 and rain every day.
Windy, so a little bit.
We'll be back home by the time the weekend. It might be cold outside, but it's 106 degrees here in the studio. We're hot in here, man. We're hot.
we're talking about customer service, and we are ramping things up and really stirring interest, I believe, in this topic, in that I think people could say, I think you'd agree with me, that everywhere you go, it's like, man, it's not like it was 20 years ago. And you give a story in the book about going and getting your gas serviced. And here in Oregon, it's easy for us to remember because, you know, people come and pump our gas here in Oregon.
By law.
But still, the customer service level isn't like it was back in the day. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I can remember when I got my driver's license and I had an old Toyota Corolla station wagon that my mom had let me use to drive to Burroughs High School in Ridgecrest, California. And I would stop at the gas station on the way to the high school just because I liked the guys that were servicing the cars. They would talk to you. They got to know me by name. They checked my oil, make sure I had proper air in my tires, wash my windshield. And in the desert, you always get dust on your cars. They would do all that while they were pumping the gas. And it didn't matter that they maybe charged me 5 or 10 cents more. Mm-hmm. That experience hooked me when I was 15, 16 years old. Today, I still buy the same brand, Chevron. Mm-hmm. I'll go out of my way to pay a little bit extra for Chevron. Not because they're going to give me great experience, but because I remember way back when. Today, it's a minimum wage position. You can get a job in high school or in college to earn money for college, but they don't give them that training. You got time? You're available? We're going to give you this job because we need to hire it right now. And I think that's the wrong way that companies should go about hiring people. You need to identify what the traits are that you need. And to me, number one is nice. You can't train that. You can't train someone to sincerely have empathy and compassion for a customer. They really have to come to the table with that skill set already. You can teach them how to pump gas. You can teach somebody how to be a barista at Starbucks or Dutch Bros. You can teach someone to make a blue widget, or I call them a what's-a-who's-it. You can teach someone to do that. You cannot teach someone to be nice and to sincerely care about another human being.
So what do they say, 90% of it's attitude and 10% is skill? If you have that 90% attitude, you can learn anything and be teachable. And that's the other thing I see with this generation. Not that I'm knocking this generation, because I've got all these kids now, my own kids. And
it's okay. In
this generation.
That's right.
But it seems like it's the thinking outside of themselves is a harder concept. And I don't know if it's because we were so trained to have manners and be honorable from our grandparents and parents. You know, I don't know where the disconnect is. Maybe it's just the instant gratification in our society. But I do believe COVID and this pause that we've had has given a lot of people opportunity to rethink all of this in business. And so as businesses are reopening now here in Oregon, who's going to have the competitive edge? And my theory is those that are giving excellent service, those that are looking at the customers, not with dollar signs in their eyes, but as valued friends that they've missed over the last season. So if you're a business owner today and you're looking for a tool to help really fire up your base, this is something I think is absolutely necessary. And there's actually a training program you're developing with this, right?
There is, and it's a course. We just call it the 6-Star Manifesto course, because I really believe that. Well, just imagine this. Imagine that you walk into a business, and we talk about those 6-Star Service Manifesto star points. What if you were to walk in, and right off the bat, before any words were spoken, you knew those promises were being made by this company? Mm-hmm. Would that make you feel different, Terry? If you walked into any business, would that make you feel okay? This business really does care about who I am as a customer.
Absolutely.
Do you feel?
I do. And in fact, you know, the thing that comes to my mind right now is whenever I see the Chamber of Commerce or on their window, or I see the, Stacy, what's that company that does the Best Of?
The Best Of.
I like seeing that on the wall.
Yeah.
Because they've competed with others. It makes me think, man, this
there's
is
something
the best.
Special.
There's something going on here. Well, so if I saw the 6-Star, absolutely.
When we go into a new area, Terry and I often will look at reviews to know where to go to eat, you know, where to go for entertainment, things like that. Mm-hmm. We look at those reviews. So I think what you're onto something here, Mitch. I think this is a great idea.
Six-Star, what does it hurt to give a little bit extra?
Mm-hmm.
What does it hurt? Mm-hmm. And the other question I like to ask people or have them ask themselves is, what can I do for my customer today that will make their life a little bit better? If you just ask yourself those two questions, that will completely revolutionize the way you look at customer service and the way you take care of your customers. So many people now are going online. We've had to pivot. We've had to. Mm-hmm. I have a gourmet artisan coffee roasting company.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have 300. Still have 300 hotels and resorts that buy coffee from us. Well, they kind of stopped buying about a year ago, right about now. We had to pivot, and now we're selling to Bob and Mary Sue in Van Buren, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
They can buy 12 ounces at a time, but we had to pivot. We had to reinvent. As we all are going online more, that service is kind of being put in the background, because now it's like, oh, we got to build a website. We got to have a shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have a shipping department.
Mm-hmm.
That's still service.
Mm-hmm.
Every touch point, there's still service that can be delivered. And then the after party, like we're talking before the break. What can you do after that purchase is made to make sure that customer feels valued and appreciated? And every industry has its own set of ABCs. You got to kind of do your own brainstorming. But I really think that if people start thinking, okay, what can I do to make myself a 6-star business? How can I treat my customers differently than everyone else in my market, or just everyone else in my block?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to go above and beyond? You ask yourself that question, magic things happen.
Well, and I think when you're talking about magic, making sure that the atmosphere is primed and inviting is so important, and that's through your frontline folks. And Terry, you talked about a little bit about your training, and you talked about the internal customer. We talk about these businesses, their employees, having that is really important. And here's an opportunity to invest in your employees through this training. But I think some of that customer expectation too, there's been some hurt or definitely less value because of COVID and the shifting in schedules and this divisive culture that we're in, cancel culture, making the guys that own the business the bad guys, which they're not. They're the ones that have everything on
the
line.
We're the ones writing paychecks to
That's
people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it's like the business owners are looking for ways to connect better with their employees and with their customers. And Terry, you know how important that is.
I do. You know, we talked about stress a little bit earlier. We're all under more stressors, and that translates into how we interact with each other. And we have to remember that our interaction with the folks we work with, that's our first customer of the day.
That's it.
How you, what you say to your boss, what you say to your coworker, you know, how you smile, how you get the tempo and the temperature of the store going first thing in the morning. That's going to go back to the customer. I mean, if you're cranky pants and there's no coffee going on, right, then you're not going to, Mr. Customer walks in and you're like, what?
Right.
You know, hope you brought me coffee and
how
some
can I help
pants,
you today?
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So very important that we treat each other right.
Well, now Harley Davidson has, obviously, they created an incredible culture unlike almost any other brand in the entire world. What do they do from a customer service standpoint that makes them stand out head and shoulders above everybody else?
Here's the thing. They created a number of different things, and it evolves over the years. The company's very large, and whenever they change executives, everyone wants to bring in their own thing so they can put their name on it, kind of like your representatives in government. Why do you think we have so many laws? That's a Billy Bob law. So now they've done it right. So, you know, the one that I remember is connect, understand, satisfy, trial close, objections, and then maintain the relationship, the custom experience. That's one of many they come up with. But it all boils down to, you've got these all these dealerships, and there's a number of them around here, and we get people in all the time that say, I went over to this dealership, I just wasn't treated the same. So you can be trained the same, but not treated the same. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge difference.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. So again, it's how you're treated internally. Not so much.
Well, and even in radio, for me, what I found, what I love is connecting with the listeners. Anytime I have an opportunity to be in the public, connecting with the listeners, sitting with them at events. Was at an event recently where I actually could sit in the VIP section. I'm like, I want to sit with my friends, the listeners, because I want to get to know them. Right. And so it's really about how do you connect and how do you communicate and staying accessible again, under-promising and over-delivering, I think, is so extremely important. Terry and I just talked about over the weekend, he's had incredible customers over this last year since we've been here. What can we do more, you know, to let them know? Even though they bought a motorcycle a year ago, what can we do more? After party.
I will tell you this. This is a good lead-in. Something that I brought from another dealership. They have the new owner's dinner. Owner's dinner.
I like
now,
that.
Now, during the wintertime, we do it by quarters, because there's not that many sales, to be honest. But during the summer, we sell so many, we have to have once a month. Mm. So we send out an invitation, and these are catered meals. These are nice. I think we have steak tips and baked potato coming out. And it's not a sales pitch. When you buy a motorcycle, sometimes it works so fast. You're signing documents. You don't realize the value of the warranty that you just got or these different things, the oil service. And so we slow it down. And we talk about hog membership, oil changes, and what these terminology like a 5K. What is a 5K on a Harley?
Right, right.
So anyway, it's our opportunity to say thank you. All the new people stand up. They say, hey, I bought a new bike, or it's a new to me. And they all clap, and we share an experience. And I'm getting chills talking about it.
Yeah. Well, there's lessons there for any industry and any business owner, isn't there?
And when I think about the volcanoes and the baseball analogy that you said, that they might not go to another game for over a year, this stadium that we have here in our backyard is a part of our community.
May 13th, we're playing again.
So very excited to have baseball again.
Yeah.
I love baseball. You know, you took your son recently on a journey to go see the Dodgers, right? And you intro this in your book, and it kind of stirs the whole customer service. Also addresses the next generation, right?
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, whenever my Dodgers have went to the World Series, I've either tried to go do something special myself, or now that my son is 13, he's now a fan. So for the last two times they were in the World Series, we went to a game. Well, we flew down to Arlington in the middle of COVID this last year, and at the airport we got an Uber. It was about a 20-minute drive to the hotel. We're so excited. Well, before we get out of the maze in the parking lot, she gets lost twice. So I asked her, have you been here before? Do you know where you're going? She didn't speak English.
Oh.
And she had her phone in her hand the whole time looking at the GPS instead of in a cradle.
Oh.
Can you please put this in your cradle? Anyway, you fast forward. 20 minutes later, we're finally on the road. We're heading to the hotel. Him and I are looking around. We're excited. Perfect day, right? Dad's been a perfect day. Great flight. We went to the Delta Sky Lounge at PDX and had a great breakfast and a cup of coffee. And by the time I realized it was 30 minutes later, I put my GPS address in there. It's like, well, now we're 45 minutes away.
Oh, no.
She went the opposite direction.
Oh, no.
So we finally get to the hotel. She was just absolutely terrible at all facets of customer service. It was a terrible experience. My son says, Dad, this is the worst day of our life.
Oh.
This turned to be the worst day of our life. And I said, Son, trust me, when we go to bed tonight, we're going to laugh about this little hitch in our giddy up. It's going to be it's a little joke.
Part of the story.
It's going to be part of the Graff Boy adventure. Well, we got out of that Uber, changed clothes. We went to the stadium just to check it out. Our game wasn't until the next day, but we get in there, and the second Uber opened the door for us. He had magazines back there. It was clean. It was wonderful. He talked us up, asked how our experience was, gave us some restaurants to go to.
That's
completely
right.
Polar opposite, you know? If I could have given him a 6-star, he would have gotten a 6-star.
I'd like to see that on his window this time. Come on now.
When we get back
6-star Uber.
When we get back from this break, I have a few more questions for you. We'll open up the phone lines. Maybe you have a question for Mitch today. 503-589-1220.
We're going to need another hour.
I know, right?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, together on this marvelous Monday, hanging out with Terry and Mitch today, and we're talking about customer service. You know, Mitch, you are an entrepreneur, and so are you, Terry, by the way. Mm. And it's so fun to surround myself with people who are constantly thinking of ways to do things better. And that's both of you.
Yep.
You're always looking for ways to connect with people. Your personalities are such. And you're visionaries. And so I know there are people out there, because of COVID, their hours have been reduced. Maybe they're looking, scrambling to find another job. But they have that idea that they want to birth. They have this, maybe they have a recipe, you know, like my friend, I coached a friend years ago in a jerky business. He had this wonderful recipe to make deer taste good in a jerky format, and he took it to beef and buffalo, and he launched Carlton's Grand Jerky, and we walked through that. I just kind of coached him through and was that person to talk to. And so talk to someone, Mitch, who has an idea. How do you evaluate if it's worth something to move forward?
Well, I think there's three steps that anyone should take. Number one, if you have an idea, whatever it is, vomit everything that's in your brain on a piece of paper. Just carve out an hour, 2 hours of time outside. I like to go outdoors because it's a whole different perspective when you are in nature as opposed to being in a cubicle office or inside of a bedroom or a living room. You go outside. I know this time of year it's kind of difficult, but vomit everything on a piece of paper. Step number two, research your industry. Find out who your main competitors are. Find out what they do well, what they don't do well. And then number three, you need to validate it. You need to make sure this is something that's going to have some wings. And I always tell people, don't spend more money than you have to, number one. And number two, only spend money on things that a customer will have direct contact with. The behind the scenes stuff that you want to spend money on, you want to do that new computer, no, the customer has no contact initially until you have a proof of concept and the thing has some wings to take flight. You need to have measured risks that you take. There's a guy named Jim Beach. He is a entrepreneur professor at a college back east, and every semester his students start an actual business. And he spends $5,000 of his own money to start a business.
But then it's
the power of groupthink. He's got 20, 30 students that are all saying, okay, what's the packaging? How are we going to distribute this? What's the price point? Who's our customer? And then once they have the prototypes, they hit the streets. And they go out there and say, hey, this is a new lady's purse. Would you like to, would you buy this at $100? Yes. Would you buy it at $125? Yes. Would you buy it at $150? No. And they just do research. So those three steps. Number one, put everything on a piece of paper. Number two, study your industry and study the competition. And number three, take measured risks and go out there and launch it and sell. See see what the potential is for your product. If it passes those three tests and you feel, okay, this is worth going to step number four, then you go to step number four only if number one, two, and three have been validated.
Great advice. I know you said something about the last time you were here that has stuck with me about actually writing it out on paper and using your whole brain and the visual versus we're so into this society of typing everything up on a computer, right?
Oh, yeah. I long form my books. My articles I write for magazines, I long form it. And I know that's old fashioned, but I'm left-handed. And there is something to be said from left-handed people accessing a little bit more of their right brain or right-handed people accessing more left brain. There is something to be said that I've done studying on a lot of the research. So I will, with a steno pad, I'll just sit there and write it out. It takes longer, but you know, my thoughts are more clear. They're more concise. And it could be something as simple as just writing a note to my kids. Instead of typing an email and send it to them, I'll write it out if it's something that's going to be emotional, because my thoughts are different when I longhand it.
And
I know that's old-fashioned, but, you know.
Well, there's value in that. And where I'm going with this, when we talk about customer service and thanking our customers and making those personal connections, how about a personal note? How about handwritten
note? That's a dying art.
How about...
Do you guys sign something special, thank you card?
We were talking about that. We've done that at rallies, but we're talking about bringing that back. But when I worked in the nonprofit world, and this is for our nonprofit friends, when you do a letter back to your donors on the receipt, why not write a personal note
on
that receipt?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard more about that in my receipts and my little notes and making it personal and really making sure that I knew them. It really brought value and added value.
Yeah, it's part of that after party. It's part of that after the sale is made to do something special to touch them emotionally.
Yep.
Stacy, do I like cards?
He don't like receiving cards very well.
And unfortunately, I don't like cards because I feel bad when I have to throw them away. Birthday, Christmas, Valentine's. It's from this person that cares for you, and they hand wrote a little note, and yet you'd have a room in your house stuffed with cards if you didn't throw them away. So I've always not done cards, and I know it's a personal thing I shouldn't apply to my professional life. But
well, see, now it's an email. We send an email because it's free, it's easy. And unfortunately, businesses have looked to cut costs as opposed to just taking care of a customer. There was a story about a guy that bought some tires from a tire store. About 6 weeks later, he finally put them on. They wrong size. He went back. Tire store was gone. A Nordstrom's was there.
Shut it up.
He went in and said, where's the tire store? Well, they're not here anymore. What's the problem? Well, I bought these tires. They're the wrong size. Nordstrom's gave him the money back.
Quit already.
Wow.
And they've never, to this day, never sold a set of tires in their life.
Incredible.
That is the epitome of going
and
above
and
beyond.
And I'll bet he goes to Nordstrom's all the time.
Oh,
now.
That's like me and Chevron when I was a kid, right? That brand, that's why they call it branding. Mm-hmm. It gets branded in your brain and you never forget.
There's a lady in I think Kansas, a temper mattress lady who would send you a card for your birthday and check on you.
Yes.
You just went into
that one you read.
One time he went to that store, customer
service.
And this
is years later.
This is like a semi-retired lady.
She is. It was the Sleep Number bed.
Did you buy another mattress from her after?
I've not bought one yet.
But if you did, would you consider her? Because she's front of mind awareness, right?
Yes.
You pay shipping.
You darn right.
That notice helped.
Yep.
Yeah. So doing those extra things to stand out. Not because, you want the competitive edge. Let's just say, you know, we're entrepreneurs, capitalists.
But she takes true joy in what
she
does.
We want to take care of our people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's extremely important. Any other last minute hints or tips to people that are wanting to bulk up their customer service and their team before we head out today?
Just remember, if you are a business owner, remember the reason that you got into the business in the first place, and that was to create something wonderful for the world, whatever service or product. Smile, have fun with what you do. This life is so short and precious and fleeting. We never know when our time on this earth is over. So make sure with every interaction, you just smile first internally. Let them see a smile before you speak your first word, and that will completely change the trajectory of your conversation and your relationship with that person. If you just have fun, incorporate some humor, incorporate that smile, things will happen. Good things will happen if you can do that. That's my last pointer for the show.
And your website is?
Powermarketing101.com is my main website. But the book, you can go to the number 6-star.org. And you can get actually a free paperback book. You just pay a little bit of shipping and handling. You can get a free paperback. Or just go to Amazon.com and put in my name or put in customer services dead, and it's available there.
Awesome. And I think people can hire you to come in and talk about. Is that what
exactly
you're going to say?
That's exactly what I was going to say. We were talking about earlier, you know, you can't train nice. Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can bring it to the surface because maybe their home life, they weren't treated and they didn't smile a lot. But if you show them, dude, it's more fun to be nice and to get that good feeling you can't buy at Walmart, right? So, contact.
Some of the best people that I've ever met are the greeters at Walmart.
Oh, absolutely.
They're retired CEOs
want
something to do.
Yes.
Connecting with those people until they turn into mask informers or enforcers.
Yes.
And then they found a new position.
Yeah. Had to go there, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Well,
we almost made it the whole hour.
I know. And I'm usually the one that's the positive one. But I've had a couple friends friends who were the greeters, and they're like, nope, nope, not here
anymore.
Now they're greeting in other places.
That's
Yay.
Right.
They're
That's
delivering
right.
meals. And things like that. Yep.
Speaking of breakfast.
Great things, I know.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Mitch. Let's touch base again in a couple months and see how you're doing. All
you
right?
got it.
Thank you,
got
you so
it.
Much. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, enjoying a wonderful Monday morning. And I hope you have a fantastic day, friends. Tomorrow, we're going to hit some legislation and talk about what we need to do to make sure these bad laws don't pass here in Oregon. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, my friend, and God bless the USA.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.